Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. There's the old joke about the difference between Auckland and a pot of yoghurt. Only one of them has culture, haha. But the Auckland Festival gives lie to that with its strongest offering yet this year. We're joined now by Festival Director David Malakari.
So David, as luck would have it, a big storm blew in just in time for the opening of the festival on Thursday.
Well, that kind of works in with our Pacific theme, really. We talk about we talked about in our program about the Pacific being the metaphor for the festival, and you know, just as we take the kind of benign Pacific presence, you know, it's storms and danger, really, particularly in arts, is something we kind of crave, though I'm not sure that we really wanted it to be quite so literal.
You were quite lucky. I mean, a lot of the events, I understand, have already sold out or just about sold out. Is that right?
Look, a lot of our club events, certainly Le Clique, Tim Minchin, Camille, these are shows that have just... you know, the tickets are like hen's teeth now. But we traditionally sell half of our tickets during the festival itself. So there's plenty of tickets around for plenty of good stuff. You just need to get early because they do start to go very, very quickly.
It's been 2 years since Auckland had an Auckland festival. I mean, is that a good way to run things, do you think? Just have it on an off year?
Well, it's an interesting idea and one that's talked about a lot. One of the problems that we would have in going annual, for instance, is that Wellington Festival's on every other year. And I think that might be seen to be a bit, you know, kind of anti-Wellington to go up against that. But look, festivals do discuss, you know, a lot of festivals are starting to go annual. Trying to keep a presence, keeping your image up over 2 years is quite difficult. But we've kind of got some strategies in place, I think, for the future. For instance, Red Square, I think, has great potential to be an annual event independent of the festival, and just to provide this kind of, you know, great cabaret and music kind of event that kind of sits outside the festival context.
Do you want to explain what Red Square is in relation to the festival?
Yeah, look, Red Square is our party zone, I suppose. We implemented it in the last festival, and Red Square really consists of the Spiegel tent, famous, gorgeous mirrored tent from Belgium, and a festival club. Between the two venues, there's just a fantastic program of cabaret, burlesque, and a lot of really, really great music. So this festival, it's moved up to the Aotea Square, so it's kind of right at the hub of things. So people kind of fall out of the theatres, the Town Hall, the ASB, the Civic, and there they are in Red Square, right outside the Spiegel tent. So it's a great place to socialise, to kind of share your festival experience, and to kind of have a few more late at night or early in the evening.
Has that been part of defining an Auckland culture to base the festival around? Doing it an Auckland way?
Look, I suppose you want a festival to change your city and transform your city, and so to make it seem like something different's happening. And Auckland, of course, is a big spread out... you know, someone landed a boat down on the water and this kind of cancer spread up the hill behind it. Not dissimilar in some ways to Sydney and even a lot of other cities, I suppose. So finding a heart or a centre of the city is kind of not so easy in Auckland. So, you know, we figure that if we create a Red Square concept that becomes at least the centre of the festival, that will create a heart for the festival as well.
Tell me about some of the highlights from this first week of the festival.
There's from Vietnam, we've got Ayasola, Company Ayasola with The White Body. Now, this is a Vietnamese brand new work that premiered in Hong Kong just last week, and we're part of the commissioning process of that. We're very proud of that and very interested to see how that goes. Circus Oz, you know, fantastic knockabout circus. Look, this is just a great event. The music alone is enough to go and see this by Le Clique. Oh, look, what else is there? There's just...
Tim, tell me about Tim Minchin. I'm particularly interested in him.
Yeah, well, Tim Minchin is great fun. I mean, anyone who's been onto YouTube and checked out a few Tim Minchin clips will know just how clever he is. He's a great iconoclast, and people always say that about comedians, don't they, that they're great iconoclasts. But, you know, he really is, and he's a superb musician, and he uses his kind of musical skills and his kind of great wit to incredible effect, and his shows are just outstanding, and he's just about sold out. He was a great hit at Edinburgh Festival a couple of years ago, and his star has kept rising since then.
I went along to the opening night, actually, so let's listen to some of the highlights from that now.
Listen to me if you care for your health. You won't call me ginger, unless you ginger yourself. Only a ginger can call another ginger,
So, Tim, that was the opening night of the festival. You rocked the house. You got standing ovation there at the end. Normal for you?
I manipulate. I play this little mind games where I basically make them stand up. Like, even if they've hated the show, I do certain things with my body and it makes them feel like standing up. Basically, they're trying to leave before the show ends. It looks like a standing ovation.
Who would have thought you could have so many jokes about maths, science, evolution? I mean, you know, all topics that you wouldn't think were a rich vein of humour.
Well, yeah, I'm constantly surprised that people think anything I say is funny. It's not, I don't, but also, by dumb luck, I've found that this is what I like being stupid about, and combining it with music. It's weird. I don't know why it works, but it's such a great thing to go, okay, well, this is my area, right? This is what I get to talk about. It's like, all right, I'll take that. That's better than talking about bus tickets and muffin tops, you know, for me.
You're also, I mean, clearly a prodigious musician. Tell me about, you know, you've obviously had a bit of a background before you were a comedian, because you've been a comedian for 4 years. Presumably you didn't start learning the piano then as well.
No, I still put musician on my, when I came into New Zealand, on my landing card. I was a muso and I was an actor, and I've written a lot of, but all the stuff I do about sort of the kind of pseudo rock star stuff, and a lot of my comedy comes out of this sort of persona that is a failed rock star, I guess. But that's, it's not really like that. I actually wrote a lot of music for theatre and stuff, so I come from a quite theatrical background. And then a few years ago, I just went, I'm just going to do my stupid songs. I like being on stage. I'm comfortable. And as I say, the big surprise was that people, I thought people would find it quirky, but they seemed to find it funny, outwardly funny. And I went, oh, maybe this is comedy. So I stuck it in a comedy festival. And I went, yep, that's comedy. And I went, oh, good, I'm doing comedy.
I bet you get the best of both worlds. You get to perform musically on stage, which is a rush in itself, and also tell jokes and make people laugh.
Yeah, and I, well, yeah, it's amazing. It's a really good job for me. Because what I, after all these years of going, I'm trying to be an actor for the theatre community or for film and TV or whatever. I'm trying to be a muso for the record industry. I'm trying to be a composer for the theatre industry. In the end, my solution to my poverty in my 20s was actually doing exactly what I want, not doing anything for anyone, just going, if I did exactly what I want on stage, what would it be? It's pretty fun.
You made a few jokes tonight about the Aotea Centre, you know, one of the prides of Auckland City, looking a little bit like a conference room.
Well, actually, what they've done with the room is incredible, because it is...
You see his backtracking.
Yeah, it is a corporate space, but it looks absolutely wicked. But, yeah, I always try to mock the space I'm in.
Awesome. Thank you so much for a great opening to the Auckland Festival. It was wonderful.
I like being here. It's fun.
When you are a ginger, life is pretty hard. Here's a ritual bullying in the schoolyard. Kids call him your anger and fan of pants.
I loved him. Yeah. I loved him almost as much as I loved Jesus. I love Jesus more than I loved him, but I still loved him. He's wicked.
He is. I mean, wicked in the true sense wicked. Of the word. The best, both yeah. best senses of the word.
So, Mama, what do you think of what you've heard so far?
I think he's incredibly funny. I think it is some of the best comedy I've had the chance to see so far.
How about you, Madam? What did you think?
Oh, it was great. Really, really funny. Laugh a minute or a second or whatever, but my jaw is so sore because of all the laughing. And I'm going to have good stomach muscles if you come here.
Now, T. Rader, you're one of the festival ambassadors, is that right?
That's absolutely correct, yes.
So, opening night, we just saw Tim Minchin. What did you think?
I was mightily impressed, mightily.
Here we are at the festival club, end of the night. Lady Six has just finished performing.
And she was amazing, I can't believe it. Okay, so I am her.
are you performing much at this Auckland Festival, or was that it tonight?
That's it, actually. Really? We just came to open it up and you know, set the standard, and hopefully everyone will follow suit.
What do you reckon about the venue tonight?
Oh, it's amazing.
Lady, how's the new album going?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you for coming and opening up the Auckland Festival for
us. No worries. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
And the Auckland Festival runs until March the 22nd. If you want to know more, pop along to aucklandfestival.co.nz. After the break, Damien goes diving and the Sami sisters sing.